Welcome to episode 122 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Over the past week or so, I've not had the chance to update the website, as my time has been taken up almost exclusively with activities surrounding this year's Goodwood Festival of Speed. With fast-paced cars, motorbikes, extreme sports, display stands and more, the festival is always a fantastic event and many would say a photographer's dream. So in this, the first of three episodes surrounding my commission at this year's event, I'm talking to you about just what was on my brief and how I went about tackling it. So here we go then, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 122! It's about 10 past 8 in the evening, and you can probably hear that the road surface I'm driving on is not very smooth. That's because I'm driving down a very, very dusty track on my way back from this year's Goodwood Festival of Speed in West Sussex. And for those of you that are regular listeners, you'll know that I shoot this event every year for Goodwood, and you will know that I usually record on the way back, and I also record whilst I'm there at the event and what have you. For those of you that don't know about the event, it is a four-day motoring event where you have supercars, you have classic race cars, Formula One, there are trade stands, there is a lot of the big manufacturers are there, people like Citroen and BMW and Bentley and you name a motoring mark and they will most likely be there. Not all of them, but a lot of them do come along because the Festival of Speed has become such a big event now. It's quite a sight. Anyway, of course, the purpose of me speaking to you today is to just fill you in a little bit on what I've been up to. So, I turned up on the Thursday afternoon. Now, during the Thursday, they have what's known as the Moving Motor Show. And I think I've got that right. Yes. My mind's gone a little bit blank. It's been a long, hot few days. That I don't tend to photograph that. But I do turn up on the Thursday because I always photograph the firework display that happens over the top of Goodwood House on a Thursday evening. And this year, of course, was no exception. It was loud and it was, it sort of bright lights and all the, what you'd expect from fireworks. Now, I had planned to record some audio as I was shooting that for you. And I did start, but I kind of got accosted by a sort of a drunken woman, verbally accosted. She wouldn't shut up, frankly, and I just had to ditch the attempt to record for you, which is a real shame because I know a lot of you like to hear the process, thinking about photographing fireworks and all the considerations. I did on the Saturday night, and I'll just skip to this now. I did on the Saturday night photograph another fireworks display, which again happens over the house. But I photographed that from the F1 paddock. So there are all these Formula One cars from present going back into the, I think it was the 50s, maybe the 40s. I can't remember now. But you know, I was able to just be on my own, nice and quiet. And in the most part, and just record the audio for you. So you have got your fireworks recording this year. So there you go. That was Thursday. That went well. The actual fireworks themselves, the photographs of them. And then, of course, the Friday morning kicks off the what a lot of people would refer or to or think of as the main event. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the main 3 days. And I started at, now what was it, 7:15 in the morning was my the first time when I had to be somewhere. There were some local dignitaries which were there with Lord March, just talking about British automotive industry, and there was a bit of a press conference. And because I'm, for the sake of this weekend, I'm an official Goodwood photographer, and they knew that I would be around that early in the morning, I was asked to photograph that. So I was up nice and early, and 7:15 I took those shots, which was kind of an easy kind of entry into the day. So that was that, and then after that I just got on with, made a start on my brief. Now, it's always nice to pace yourself, to not leave yourself too much to do on, say, the Sunday, because it's long days, hot, and the last thing you want, because timings do slip. And do you know, this year something's different. I'm not sure. Maybe I was a bit more relaxed with it. I made a very conscious decision. I told myself that I wasn't going to shoot as much, and certainly I wasn't going to supply as many images, which actually a lot of people might think, well, you know, aren't you obliged to supply a certain amount of images, or won't there be gaps in the coverage, what have you? It actually works in the opposite, because you're thinking more about the pictures, which means the pictures that you do capture are stronger. They are more effective, because the stuff that I'm shooting is for sponsors' reports, and obviously you want to make sure that the sponsors, their stands, their cars, their people, all look good. So, a prime example is a colleague of mine who... So, someone actually commented to him and said, I think you need to send your camera back because the motor drive must be jammed. And it's true, he shoots in batches of about 4 or 5, even on static subjects, and he supplies all of them. And not a lot happens in between frames. And certainly the people that I deal with, the lady that I always deal with, who I supply the images to in the photo library, I know that she really appreciates if you just give maybe one or possibly two, if there's a real need for it, of any given scene or any given, I don't know, stand or what it is. Now, when I say of any given stand, if there's a manufacturer's display or what have you, obviously I need to do sort of a broad coverage, but what I'm getting at is, say I was photographing the front of the Peugeot were there, for example. So say I was photographing the front of the Peugeot display, I would probably take 2 or 3 shots and do a quick review on the back of my camera, and I would pick out the best one, making sure that, you know, because there are crowds and crowds of people, making sure that, you know, there's no sort of silly expressions, or, you know, people sometimes turn around and pull faces at the camera, or just unfortunate timing with people yawning or whatever it might be. So that really worked. I was really happy. So, for example, on the first day, on the Friday, rethink this. I am going to go back, and over the next few days, I'm going to be in my office editing and working the pictures. Now, I will obviously whittle them down so that we go through that process that I've just explained, but I was shooting both RAW files and JPEGs, both to separate cards in each of my cameras that I was using. And so I have the RAW files that I kept for myself, which is what I'm going to be working on. And then I had the JPEGs, which, although they're not the final images, and a whole bunch of them won't make the cut, and they're, you know, maybe a few test shots on there and what have you, that at least gives the photo library all the images so that if someone did say, oh, we need this picture really urgently, have you got it? And I was the photographer that took it. Sometimes I'm the only photographer in the right place at the right time. Then they've got them. And whilst they wait for the proper versions, as it were, the worked versions to turn up, they've got them. So I was shooting JPEGs like that. And as I say, the first thing that I was really happy with was the number of shots I took. All of on the first day, those JPEGs that I took, I did an ever so quick edit to make sure there weren't too many duplicates. And I supplied, I think it was 575 pictures. Now, a lot of you will probably think, wow, that is a heck of a lot of pictures. Consider that in the past I might supply somewhere in the region of 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 pictures maybe. It kind of depends on what I'm shooting. If there's sort of sequence stuff, you have more shots than other times. But yeah, I whittled it down to 500 or 575. So I was really happy with that. And I feel my work was stronger and I enjoyed being there more and taking the time. It was really nice. The second thing that I was really happy with was in the past I would shoot the pictures for Goodwood, and as I go through the editing process, I would think, oh, that's, I'm really happy with that shot, I'll make a note of that, and then I might just rework it again or just leave it as it is, and it would be a portfolio shot. Now, the difference this year, I was actively thinking of portfolio shots. So I had the stuff I was shooting for Goodwood, which I know what they're after. I knew what my brief was and all the rest of it. But then I was taking stuff which some of it I knew they wouldn't want because it wasn't, that they would have no real use for it. And there's no point saying, oh, I took this picture, I think you might like it, if you know that chances are it won't be what they want. Sometimes you do, you add them in there, but that was really good. So I kind of feel maybe a bit more liberated. I don't know if that's the word. But it was really good. It was really good. And so each of the days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I just was much more thoughtful, and it worked out well, I think. I also did some different stuff on the Thursday night after the main fireworks display. This year, the big display outside the front of Goodwood House was Porsche, and a nice display there. And they had a load of their cars out the front, sort of classic, and contemporary racers and all this sort of thing. And I did some naturally lit, obviously because it was dark and you know that I love nighttime photography, some shots like that, which were just something completely different, which I knew that no one else thought to take them. And, we kind of previewed some of the JPEGs and they were really, really well received. And that's even before I've kind of gone in and made sure that that I'm really happy with them, that, checking the focus, checking this, that and the other. So that was really good. So that was the Thursday night. The Friday started off with the conference shots, or the press call, what have you. And then I just went on to shooting all the stuff on my brief. Now, I won't go through everything. For one thing, I can't remember. It's all been a bit of a blur. I can't remember everything that that I shot. But there were certain things like Nissan there, sort of a big display with their cars and people milling around and what have you. One of the big things that I did do was for Skoda. And Skoda had a very big presence again this year at the rally stage, and as much as I'm happy to photograph all the classic cars going up the hill climb, on the tarmac and what have you, you know, those shots are nice and they're well received and all the usual stuff. But I really, really enjoy photographing the rally stage. I mean, as I'm driving back here, I am covered. I mean, my black shoes are grey, sort of just through dust. I actually took some quick snaps. Every morning I took a photograph of my shoes just to see just how dusty they're going to get. So I'll put that together as a sequence and put that up on Facebook or something. Just a bit of fun. So I was up at the for about 2 or 3 hours at the rally stage today. And because it's all about branding and showing Skoda's presence and all the rest of it, I took quite a lot of pictures up there. And it culminated with me spending probably about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, actually in amongst the trees, photographing the rally cars going through the rally stage. Now, I did a bit of networking, and there might be a couple of things coming off the back of that, so that was good. But I know a lot of you are probably thinking, well, what kit were you using? So let me just run through the kit that I used for the whole of the event. I stuck to two cameras. One of them was my Nikon D3, which is a nice fast camera. It's good for stopping the action. The resolution is perfectly acceptable and lovely sharp images. We've had such bright, harsh light, very contrasty. That plays to the advantage, of course, with the sensor. The pictures are really nice and crisp. And this is even without sharpening. And I also had my Nikon D800. That was also fitted with the battery grip, which acts as a vertical hand grip and what have you. And essentially, I worked the whole weekend with just two lenses. I had the 24, these are both Nikkor lenses, the AFS 24-70 f2.8, and the 70-200 f2.8 VR1, which is not the more recent version. I think it's the VR2 they're up to now. But a lot of you know that I still use my old 80-200 f2.8 AFS lens, which is one of the old ones, and it works very well. But a colleague offered me the chance to try this the VR version, the vibration reduction, to see what I thought. He's looking to sell it, and he thought that I might be interested because, you know, my lenses do need upgrading, and although it's not the most current version, the argument goes that it would at least be a slight upgrade from what I've got. So I thought, you know, I'll try that for maybe a day or so, see how I get on. In the event, I kept it on the camera throughout the whole of the weekend. What else can I tell you? Everything was handheld. I didn't use flash once across the whole of the weekend. The stuff that I was shooting, I wasn't really in any really kind of heavy shadow areas that required fill-in flash. I expect there probably might have been a few times, but the shots with people that I was taking, even the we try not to do too many posed shots, so a lot of it was long lens stuff, candid stuff, and I didn't really use the flash. But it worked well. The lens was, I don't know, it was nice, but I'm inclined to think, and I tried it both on the D800, which is a slower camera, and on the D3. And you know, it's funny, even with the really bright weather we've got, or that we've had over the weekend, I'm almost inclined to think that my older lens is faster. The mechanisms on it, the focusing, it was interesting. So I have returned that lens without without making the purchase. Because I wasn't, it was nice and it worked kind of okay and what have you, but I wasn't blown away. I think if I tried it and thought, wow, it's so fast and the pictures just seem more crisp and all this, then, you know, it might be a different story. So the cameras were all handheld for the duration during the day and what have you. Now, when I did the nighttime stuff, I was using a Gitzo Series 2 Traveller tripod. It's carbon fibre. A lot of you will be familiar with it because I've spoken about it a lot in the past because I've had it on a long-term review, a test and review feature. And that was it. The only other thing I did do was I took a couple of spare cameras and my pocket wizards and a couple of spare lenses, the 10-20 ultra wide Sigma lens, and I think I also took a 24-85 Nikon lens as well, because I had it in mind that on the rally stage I might set up a couple of remote cameras. Now, for those of you who don't know, the way a remote works is exactly that. Using these pocket wizards, I can set the cameras up, and it works with flash guns as well, so you can trigger the flash guns. A lot of you will have heard me speak about this before. Up to 1600 feet away. So the idea would be that I would get one of my older cameras, which if a rally car hit it is all insured, but it's not the end of the world, you know. I could put that in a place which is maybe a little bit more precarious, obviously not in the way of the cars, but you know, it's maybe on a bend and there's more. Obviously, it would be dangerous for me to stand there, but you know, it's a bit more susceptible to gravel kicking up or what have you. But the angle, the perspective is really worth having the camera in position. So you have a pocket wizard attached to the camera that you're shooting with, and you have a pocket wizard attached with a special cable to the camera that's remote. And when you fire the shutter release on the camera that you're holding, as say the car comes around the corner, for example, the remote camera also fires at the same time. Now, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to have a camera in your hands as well. You can just press the button on one of the little transceivers that you just hold there, and it works the same way. In the event, because of timings, because of dust and, you know, not wanting to get cameras out in the dust, and because it was really, really dusty, more dusty actually than I can remember for a good few years, I decided not to use those in the end, and I got everything I needed from on the rally stage on a excuse me, on a 24-70. So that was kind of the basic kit, really nice and simple. You know, I mean, as I drive here, my car is absolutely caked in dust. I'm going to have to go to the car wash in the next few days. And so if my car is caked, you can imagine myself, my kit, everything is as well. But that was the basic kit. Just nice and simple. Two cameras. I was using the Black Rapid, I forget the model number or name, but it's the double camera strap. It's the slightly older one. I think they've brought out a new version now. One little pouch which had a pack of spare AA batteries, rechargeables, of course. And if you haven't checked it out, do have a look at the article I wrote about why rechargeable batteries are the way forward. If you're not using them already, I'll link to that in the show notes. Some spare memory cards, business cards for when I did a bit of networking, there's a pen in there, and I forget what else. Just a couple of little bits and bobs in there. And that was it. That just clipped over my belt, and that was all I had. So I was working really, really light, apart from when I took all this remote stuff up to the top of the rally stage, carried this rucksack around. There was a Low Pro Mini Trekker, the old version that I still have, which is now absolutely coated in dust. That was quite heavy, but apart from that, it's been quite a light weekend. So I am not far off being back to base now. I've got a I don't have to back up. I've got to back up today's pictures, but all the others have been backed up twice, or three times if you include the memory cards, which I haven't wiped. So that's good. I just need to have a wash. A wash and a cup of tea. and maybe some dinner. Definitely some dinner. But that has been my experience. It's been a really, you know, very enjoyable. And, I mean, it always is. But it's a little bit different this year. And my brief was slightly different as well. So maybe I was a bit more inspired by that. Obviously, the editing process, I've got about 4 days worth of editing. Long, long days of editing. But, you know, this time around, I'm actually really looking forward to it. Because I think, because I'm looking at images which I know are stronger and I want to bring the absolute best out of them, I want to spend the time on them. And, you know, it doesn't always happen with shoots. You know, sometimes you think, well, that's a nice image and the client's happy and what have you, but it doesn't inspire you in the same way. So that is the brief overview, very quick whistle-stop tour of the weekend. I did, as I say, record a couple of other bits of audio. One, they're both at night, actually, nighttime photography, and I forget, and they'll be spaced out at various times in the near future. I'm not sure when exactly yet, but one of them was about photographing the fireworks over the F1 paddock, and the other one was about... it was about, and I won't give too much away, but it was about limiting yourself in the kit and the shooting, the approach to shooting that you use, and how you can, by limiting yourself, again, you can get stronger images and, you know, be inspired by what you're doing. So that is that. I am now back to base. I'll turn off the engine and what have you. And for now, I will leave it there.
Remember to keep an eye on the various updates from the website over the next couple of weeks, as I'll be bringing those further recordings made live at this year's Festival of Speed. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.